I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, right. Well, just to let you know, I've got nothing. I was sitting here just thinking before we started, thinking, oh, all the exciting things. I mean, it's getting harder and harder, isn't it, to come up with shit to say.
Sea swimming, Jen? Sea swimming, that's your usual...
I mean, literally, no one cares. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Well, I finished my top, ladies, as you can tell.
Yes.
Finished my purple top.
And it is stunning.
Wait a second. Can we just always establish when we've started so I know when to put a bit of sparkle into my...
Turn on the magic.
I know it seems like I've constantly got the magic, but I do switch it on for this podcast.
I say we start recording now. Yeah, Jen.
Okay, so. Let's start now. So hang on, wait for it. Hi. So.
Yeah, you look really different. You sound and look really different now.
Jen, the magic is on. That's on.
The magic wasn't on and I've switched it on because Leanne pressed record. So there we are. Look at that. The glitter is here. And so it should be, because we've entered the end of November, which we all know to be the beginning of the season that is Yuletide. Christmas is upon us. Jingling of the bells. Although, saying that, my children have been playing Jingle Bells since July. But anyway, I've now allowed it to get to the end. So the boys wrote to Santa today.
Oh, that was interesting.
To ask Father Christmas, you know, for what they expect. And Chloe and I looked at him and went, you'll be lucky, mate. So halve it again, and then we'll see. All right.
I think that's a really good phrasing. I've never heard anyone say that. You know, normally it's like a list of what the kids want. No, it is the list of what the kids expect. Yeah. I truly love that.
At one point, one of them said to me, oh, I'd like some Pokemon toys. And I don't know what Pokemon is. Okay, so I said, well... I don't know what Pokemon toys are. He went, don't worry, Father Christmas does. And I was like, I can't argue with that. You can't say, well, actually, mate, he doesn't. He needs a little bit of guidance. He's an old man and he's not up on this stuff. So maybe he's like, well, Father Christmas knows everything. So if he knows if I've been naughty or good, he must know what Pokemon toys are. I was like, oh, better get Google out. Anyway.
That's a good argument, I have to say.
That's very smart. He deserves that Pokemon with that sort of thinking, I say.
Yeah, well, the fact that you've called it Pokemon means that you know less than I do, Alison.
Pokemon.
Let me guess, that's how they say it in Canada.
How do you say it?
Oh, is that how you say it?
Genuinely? Yeah, how do you say it?
Pokemon. Well, I think we say Pokemon and you say Pokemon. Is that right?
Yeah.
Pokemon.
Maybe I pronounce my E's too much, but...
Right, well, this is going to lead me... Yeah. On to something that's bothered me for some time. Maureen, I think this would bother you as well, but probably not to the extent it has bothered me. In America, and I don't know if it's the same in Canada, do you call it Lego or Legos?
Lego, no S.
Oh my God.
The Americans call it Legos, and it absolutely drives. What is it? It's the brand. Clearly, there's no S at the end. It's Lego
is the brand. You don't go, can I have some Kleenexes? They would never say that. Can I have, you know, we're going to buy some Kleenex. Oh, can I take 3 Kleenexes?
Like, can I have some Nescafes?
Joe, where does this ever come up in conversation, though?
I don't know why this hasn't come up earlier. Honestly, Maureen, it really drives me crazy. And if you watch a movie or some any kind of an American show where Lego appears, which I'll be honest is infrequent, they always go, oh, I must get some Legos. No, it's not Legos. The people that created it, they're Danish, they've called it Lego, okay? And the plural of Lego, guess what? It's Lego, okay? So for our American listeners, get a grip, okay?
If we ever needed to torture you, what we could do is bring over some Americans and write out a list of names of places in the UK and sit you in a room with them and make them read them out loud.
Salford, Leicester Square.
Leicester
Square.
Listen, to be fair, English is not phonetic. And what I love about the Americans is that they've gone, I don't like that this isn't phonetic. Let's phoneticize it.
Phonetics, thumbs up.
Yeah, they're into it. And actually, as am I. But unfortunately, Leicester does sound ridiculous. But look, Leicester doesn't bother me as much as Legos, okay?
Yeah.
Because if you buy a box of Lego, it says Lego on it, clearly, okay? There's no S. So they've just added an S for no reason. It's willy-nilly, Maureen. It's willy-nilly. Anyway, I've got that off my chest now.
Good.
So how was your week, Maureen?
Well, I did a cookery course, which I have to recommend, called Bags of Taste. And it's around the country. And it's all about teaching people to cook good food cheaply and healthily.
Sounds great. What have you cooked so far?
I've cooked, it was a chickpea curry and then a pilau, a ragu sauce, which was absolutely gorgeous. And I used...
Not with the curry. You didn't make ragu with the curry. No, it's a separate thing.
Yeah. It was really, really, because someone who doesn't cook and is really bad at cooking, it's a really great course. So I'd recommend it. So it'd be worth checking out. Bags of Taste.
That is an interesting recommendation, Maureen, because I think particularly now I don't know about anyone else, but I've run out of ideas. I've got like 6 things that I cook. And if I never see those 6 things ever again, I'll be quite happy. Do you know what I mean?
And also, you know, making your own tomato sauce is actually a lot healthier because there's less salt and less sugar.
I mean, I always make my own tomato sauce.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the universe to make. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah, but you can cook. Whereas I can't really cook. So I would say, particularly for somebody with very low cooking standards like I have, and I actually made food that was delicious. So that is very unusual.
I did appreciate the photograph that you sent of your ragu sauce. I, if anything, was impressed with the amount of pasta that went with it. I showed it to Chloe. She went, yep, that's a Maureen-sized portion.
And you know what? Because they give you the food. That was half the pasta.
But for how many people was it for?
I don't know.
I think it was a meal for 6. Maureen, I like the way you treat your recipes like you do your box sets. Well, I've started, so I'll finish.
Yes.
And in other news, I finished my purple jumper, which I'm now wearing, which nobody can tell because it's a podcast.
No, because I took a photo of it and it's going to go up on the old Instagram. There you are, Maureen. And so, I appreciate, once again, and I think so that people really get to see who you are as a human being. What I also appreciate is that at no point have I been able to see all of your face since we started this podcast.
No, not at all. She doesn't care. She's like, just look at the jumper, please.
At some point, I thought, well, she'll adjust it. So, no, you're not bothered.
It doesn't really bother me.
Okay, fine. Good. Alison, how's your week been?
My week's been good. I'm taking it back to puppy talk, everyone, because it's been a while, so I'm allowed to do it, I think. I brushed my puppy's teeth this week. I made homemade puppy toothpaste. It was a combination of coconut oil and baking soda, ingredients we all have in the house. And I made a little toothpaste, and I bought him a little puppy brush, and I brushed my dog's teeth this week. So I am fully committed.
Is that a thing that you have to do with a dog? I mean, it's bad enough you got to pick up their poo, but you got to clean their teeth as well.
It's recommended. You can get treats. They say that. But, you know, I just know that Palms, my baby's breed, they have teeth problems. So I'm just addressing it now at a young age.
You are such a good puppy mum. I mean, there's a great deal of attention to detail with you, Alison, in everything that we do, including this podcast. I don't know if people have picked up the vibe of what's happening here, but Maureen and I are very much running by the seat of our pants and just winging it and hoping for the best. But Alison comes into the mix and goes, no, we are going to organise this. We are going to plan this and we're going to know what the hell we're doing. And guess what? I've taken the minutes of this meeting. And I like the way that you've taken that attitude with your dog.
Well, you know, just take charge. And don't get me wrong. Like, thanks for saying that. It makes me sound like I'm really organized. But let's be honest. Have I planned anything about my career or my future? No. But I now know how to brush a puppy's teeth. Maybe I'm going to be a dog carer later, guys. I don't
please,
know.
Please take that back right now. Okay. Well, it sounds like we've all had the week of weeks.
I mean, if listeners are still there, thank you very much, everyone. If you're still there, God bless you. No, or not God bless you, whatever your thing is, just thank you for listening to us.
Okay, well, let's get on to, I think it's time to find out what Maureen's hashtag Be More Maureen moment of the week is. Maureen, tell us, what is your Be More Maureen? Has this gone viral yet?
I'm going to close my internet.
Don't close your internet.
I meant my email.
Maureen switches it off at the wall.
I haven't put any makeup on.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Maureen, it's a podcast. Get a grip. We might have to push your boundaries out of it, okay?
This is another classic, which I just remembered the other day. I was kind of seeing a guy, it was the early days, and I took him to a friend's house. She was having a party. And so, you know, I was going, this is Tim. And then a couple of hours into the party, somebody turned around to me and went, isn't his name Nick? So I went, oh, is your name Nick? And he went, yes. So why didn't you say anything when I said, this is Tim? And he thought I was saying, this is him. So he hadn't actually corrected me because he just thought I was saying, this is him. And for some reason, I was convinced he was called Tim. Then he said to me, who's Tim? I mean, you can understand he was slightly insecure. And I went, oh, no, I don't know any Tims. And then I had a birthday party a couple of weeks later where I'd invited three Tims. I forgot that I knew.
Maureen, was this guy your boyfriend?
Yeah, he was like the early days. So that was like one of our first dates. And then, yeah.
How long did this relationship go on for?
Well, we're not together.
I think most people have got the vibe of that so far, Maureen, that, yeah.
I do get that in my head. Like sometimes I'm just convinced somebody's called a name. So I'll call them that name. And then I can't remember which is the name and which is the name that I think's their name.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, but often I find it difficult with lesbian couples. I don't remember their name.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Maureen and I have said this often, and this has happened a couple of times. There'll be a lesbian couple and they practically look the same. And one of them's Jean, one of them's Linda, for example.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You just want them to do an Ant and Dec and just go, don't swap sides for the love of God. Because if you swap sides, I won't know what's going on. Just Jean on the left, Linda on the right. And that's the only way I'm going to remember who's who. Because after a while, you know, with some lesbian couples, they sort of morph. They're like, we were two separate humans that look very, very different. And then they get to like 50 and they're like, we are the same person.
But not only that, they're introduced to you. Like when you're introduced to, oh, this is Jean and Linda, they're introduced together and then you just, it is complicated.
Or people don't really specify which one it is to begin with either because they don't know. And it's like a series of people not knowing which one is which. So everyone's just like, it's Jean and Linda. Hey, you guys remember Jean and Linda? And you're like, you son of a bitch.
If you're left with one of them, you're like, just have to call them love or sweetheart, which is
pal mate. I go with pal and mate. That's
oh,
me.
I know, babe. Yeah. I mean, that's never happened. But, you know, that sort of thing has to come out. And also, you get to that point where, like, you've seen June and Linda on and off for about five or six years. And it gets to a point where you can't go, which one are you? Are you Jean or are you Linda? I mean, because that's quite insulting, isn't it?
Or, like, stand at the other side of the room and just scream one of their names and see which one turns around. Jean! Jean!
No, they turn around together because they're like...
Oh, yeah, because they're the same, yeah.
I've tried that. Jean! And then Jean and Linda turn around like they've morphed. They're Siamese
they
lesbian.
What do you want? You know, I have to go back to your story, Maureen, real quick. I love the idea that you walked around a room full of people and kept saying, this is him. So everyone...
Oh, that's a big deal. This is him.
So he's like, oh my God, like she's already talked about me. I feel this way about her too. Like, I really feel a connection. And then not that he's not even special. You don't even know his name. I almost feel bad for him, Tim. Whoever he is, like, that would have been a real kick in the old mitt. Like, I'm the one. You don't even know my name. All right.
Poor Hinton.
This is why I'm probably not really good at relationships. They kind of want you to know their names, don't they?
It's the bare minimum, Maureen. It's the bare minimum.
I love it.
Well, that was a classic Be More Maureen. Listen, I also think if people have a Be More Maureen that they'd like to write in and tell us about, oh, come on, we've all had a Be More Maureen.
Oh,
do feel free to write in.
Oh, somebody did write in on my Instagram.
Oh, okay.
What did they say?
Sinead, this is a great one. So last week we were talking about V.G. Lee, the wonderful writer V.G. Lee. We'd done her book, Oh, Pretty Thing. And then Sinead wrote to me and said, just to say, myself and my wife spent hours searching for a female Chinese author called Fu Jin Lee. After listening to the Spaff episode, we finally found V.G. Lee. That's brilliant, Sinead. That made us all laugh out loud. So thank you for sending
it
that
really
in.
Did. When I got that message, I was like, Fu Jin Lee, that is brilliant. But it also shows that none of us seem to be able to articulate. I mean, that's it's clearly our fault. Apologies. But if you have a Be More Maureen, do write it into us, and you can write in at womentalkingbollocks@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, honestly, because this lockdown feels long, and any contact is appreciated. Isn't that right, ladies? Help me out. I mean, join in at any point.
Yes, I'll take any audience, even if it's one little email at a time. Please, my boyfriend needs a break.
Okay, so it's time for our favourite part of the show. Maureen and I think we can both agree. It's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No, no. No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Well, this week, I'm surprised it's taken this long to get something like this in, to be honest with you. An essential worker has written in. So this is the situation. Obviously, essential worker has been working nonstop, hard, living with a flatmate who has not been working, furloughed. So the roommate has been lounging around all day, having their partner over a lot, and also other visitors, partaking of some herbal remedies, which, hey, I'm not going to judge, you know. Come on. But I can understand how some people are not into that. And she's just at the end of a rope. So she's like, do I have a right to be resentful? Or how can I get over being resentful? And do I have the right to ask them to have less visitors? So initial thoughts, ladies, what do you think when you hear this?
Oh, I mean, I'm already just really annoyed.
You know what? I can understand if you come back from work, last thing you want are people in the house. I mean, they could have the visitors when they're at work, so they don't have to put up with them. That would be a solution, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's Maureen. Excellent. And that's almost compromise. Excellent, yeah. Maureen. Excellent.
But also there might be an issue with getting contaminated. I mean, if he's an essential worker, isn't that another issue?
Vice versa. Exactly. Like, do these people want to be in our house? Like, I'm in and out all the time right now. So yeah, absolutely, Maureen.
And I don't know when this letter was sent or when we got this email, but obviously now, I mean, it's a very simple solution because legally, you cannot have people around your house at all. So I think that's the first and foremost. You can just go, look, it's not me, it's the government, okay? Your mates have got to go. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. But also it's a matter of respect, isn't it? And I think it's very difficult when you're sharing your living space, your home with another person that isn't, say, your partner or a member of your family or whatever, to negotiate these sorts of things and to be able to say to somebody, look, I appreciate that you aren't working and that, you know, we are all isolated and we're all suffering differently and it affects our mental health. And of course, wherever possible, if you can interact with people, fantastic. But equally, if you've been working all day, you're an essential worker, I presume that your work is probably quite stressful. Then when you come home, that's a haven for you at home, isn't it? So you need to have that space and time to be able to just chill out and relax. And I think it's not unreasonable be it to say to your housemate, this time is my time. You can have the day and I have the evening. And I think that's the way it should be. And apart from anything else, I am really resenting you being off work. And by the way, pick up your towels off the bathroom. And if you eat my Marmite one more time, I'm going to stab you in the head with a fork while you sleep. But other than that, knock yourself out and Merry Christmas. Something like that.
Something like that, Jen. Something exactly like that. If we would live together, you would never have to worry about me stealing your Marmite. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So
me too.
Okay. So with this, two separate questions, basically, I think. Okay. Number one, less visitors. Am I allowed to say? Yes. Like Jen said, absolutely. We're in a lockdown. And even if we weren't in a solid lockdown, I think we're in a different time right now. So yes, you have the right to be frustrated and to ask them not to have people over. But what I want to say is, when you're addressing this person, please keep in mind, you know, you have to live with this human being, and it's not going to get easier, right? If you go into it with an attack. So what you want to do is you want to call them in. You don't want to call them out. You want to have a discussion, not an argument. Okay. If you haven't tried even communicating yet, this is the way I think to go about doing it. Also, the sooner you do it, the better, because the longer you let this fester, the bigger the deal it seems to be when we finally do bring it up. So I think the quicker you address it, the better. I think it's kind of like three C's. You guys are going to laugh at me, but communication, commitment, and compromise. It's hard because if you didn't have a full discussion when you first moved in about what do you need and what do I need to live together well, then now's the time. Some roommates actually make an official contract. I'm not into that, but I fully believe you should discuss living arrangements. And if you have, it's time to revisit it if you're afraid of that. And remember, while you're doing this, nobody's the good or the bad guy. That is the most efficient way to get things discussed. Arrange a time and a place so you guys can talk face to face. Don't be doing this over texty. It gets too frustrating. They could be sitting there with their partner. You need to be alone to have this conversation. I think you can also address things like, you know, times are weird, but you did not sign up to live with a couple right now. And that's not really supposed to be happening anyway. So I think definitely, like you ladies said, having them over during the day when you're not there, or if you're there day and away night, you look at those schedules and you absolutely communicate that. And also a room schedule, maybe even. If a house schedule can't be arranged, you look at rooms. So you're like, look, that's your time to be in your space. I'm going to come back and be in the living room. Your biggest tool, I think, with this whole thing is empathy. So the whole time you're addressing your frustrations, please remember where they're coming from, so it's not an attack. That's all I'm going to say. Those are your big things. How do I not be resentful? Well, this is a bit harder. This is a bit more like some inside work, I guess you got to do, because good that you've acknowledged you're resentful. That's step number one. Some people walk around with it on them and they don't even know they're having that resentment. Taking action can also mean things like maybe journal a little bit or write a letter to your roommate before you speak to them so you have an idea of what you want to say, what's really bothering you. And again, this is, here we go. This is the real North American. Oh my God. If you can start making lists of gratitude, I know this is ridiculous, but the more gratitude you have in you, the less resentful you can be. There's no room for negative shit when you're trying to pump in positive. So if you can just start looking at things in your life that are the positive, looking at it with a bit more positive angle, I think will help you find more of a compromise. The last thing I want to say is just remember, resentment is kind of like drinking a poison and then waiting for the other person to die. That's what I think resentment is like. You don't need to carry that around with you. So there you go. That's what I think, everyone.
Alison, that's way better advice than I would have given. Again, I stand by the fork in the head. I know that that's controversial.
It's efficient. It's efficient.
But I feel like it really makes the point very clear. I think Maureen would side with me on this particular standpoint.
You know what? I once lived with this woman once, and I used to just use a sign on my food before I put it in the fridge and say, no one's allowed to eat it.
I honestly, I could never share again. The last time I shared, I came home after I'd been on holiday to see my housemate wearing my pajamas. And that was it. I had to move out after that. I was like, that's it. I'm out.
Oh, my God.
It was enough that you kept eating my Marmite and my Lurpak and then replacing it with the low-fat version, which, by the way, I do not like. But now you are wearing my pyjamas.
My pyjamas.
Called you out on it, and now you've denied that they're my pyjamas, and there's a particular stain on there that definitely comes from... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's let that...
Well, you guys definitely should have sat down and had a no-wearing-each-other's-pyjamas talk on day one of moving.
Yeah, where did that Marmite stain come from? It is Marmite, by the way. I know where it's situated, but it's still Marmite. I sat on it. It doesn't matter. Leave it. Anyway, thanks very much, Alison. That was brilliant advice.
Thank you, Jen.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
What is the show called? Oh, yeah, I've got it. Women Talking Bollocks, yeah. Okay. Is everyone happy with that? So, what have we all been watching on television? Maureen?
I watched Military Wives, which is a film starring Kristen Scott Thomas and Sharon Horgan. And it's fine. It's kind of anodyne. You know, it's, you know, they're very good in the parts. I mean, Kristen Scott Thomas plays an uptight officer's wife. I mean, I have met one of those women and she does it very well. I mean, Kristen Scott Thomas can play that, you know, blindfold. And Sharon Horgan's very good foil to her. So, yeah, it's on Amazon and it's, you know, a couple of hours. Harmless viewing.
Well,
so.
Maureen, you've sold it to me. I cannot wait to tuck into that film. That is a very 2-star review from Maureen there.
If you got some time and you don't want to watch something that's awful, I mean, yeah, there you go. Throw this on.
If your other option is the sound of the clock ticking in your living room, whack this movie on. This is the film for you. Okay. I get it, Maureen.
No subtitles.
No subtitles. Okay, fair enough. Well, that sounds all right. I have been watching series 3 of The Bridge, and it will be the final season of The Bridge that I ever watch. I, as you all know, I love a bit of noir. I love something a bit dark. But could they give me a chink, like a little crack of any kind of light in 10 hours? Honestly, I mean, I tell you what the Scandies do well. Bleak. They do bleak. Five stars for Bleak. I mean, there was not a moment in that where I thought, well, at least this is happening, and at least they get together, and this is nada, nothing. Just. Chloe was like, I'm glad that we've chosen to watch this during a global pandemic while we're all feeling a little bit sad anyway. And I was like...
Wait till season 4, Jen.
Well, Chloe said, well, we might as well watch season 4. I was like, I do not think so. I can't do it. I can't put myself through that. Season 3 ended and I thought, I'm just going to make up my own happy ending now because you're not obviously going to offer me one. So anyway, that's what I've watched. Of course, it's brilliantly written. Of course, the acting's fantastic. And of course, The Bridge is a wonderful series and all of that, blah, blah, blah. But right now, my mental health is saying it's a hard no from this lesbo. Alison.
Military Wives then.
Back onto Military Wives. Alison, let's lighten this mood up with a horror movie.
Yeah, wow. Let me lighten the mood. Here we go. My recommendation of this week, because I was thinking about flatmates, things that could go wrong. So my horror movie choice of the week is Shallow Grave.
Oh, I haven't haven't seen that in...
There we go.
I watched it years ago in the cinema, I think.
I saw it in the cinema.
Danny Boyle. I think that was one of the first movies that really got it. Same with a young Ewan McGregor.
Christopher
Eccleston, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, tons. And I thought, you know what? UK audiences would really enjoy that recommendation because it is one of those movies that you go, oh, yeah. And it is quite dark. It is a horror thriller, but horror. The gist is three roommates find their newly accepted fourth roommate dead in a bed with a bunch of money on him. So we learn how greed gets the worst of them and what happens when they go down the selfish rabbit hole, everyone. It's a great flick.
I've got an incredible cast.
Yeah.
Kerry Fox, Ewan McGregor, Christopher Eccleston, Keith Allen, Ken Stott, Peter Mullen. Yeah, I mean, Gary Lewis. It's got an incredible cast of British talent.
In those days, Shallow Grave, I mean, I hadn't seen a lot of British films or a lot, but Shallow Grave was one of the first ones that I was like, oh, they have a whole separate industry where they're making a whole bunch of stuff over there, movies and things that I've never seen. It was, for me, I would say, one of the first ones that grabbed my interest and made me realize how many fantastic films and television and podcasts and radio and all sorts of things are being made in the UK, and everyone should listen and support it at all times.
Can you believe it's 26 years old?
That's
wild, isn't it?
Stands the test of times.
I mean, we were all just little babies when it came out, weren't we? No? Okay, good. Right. Thanks very much, Alison. And now it's going to be Maureen's cultural caller.
Uh-huh.
I haven't started it, Maureen.
Hello.
I'm going to start that again. Look, it's the end of the podcast, but is it? Of course not, because it's time...
Cultural Corner, fill me in. Make me a better person, Maureen.
Well, this was all started off because there was something trending on German Twitter called Jana aus Kassel, where this anti-masker compared herself to Sophie Scholl. For those who don't know, was an amazing, brilliant woman who was in a resistance group and was executed by the Nazis. And so comparing yourself to Sophie Scholl because you've refused to wear a mask was just ludicrous. I thought, you know what, I'm going to do some books that deal with that period, which I was slightly loath to do because I kind of resent the fact that in this country, when we think of Germany, we tend to think of just 12 years of the Nazi period. And it's such a rich culture and a great history. But these are three of my favourite books. So the first one is Fabian, and it's set just before the Nazis take power. So it's a great introduction to modern German literature. It's fast-paced, written with a great deal of humour, and it gives you a great idea what Berlin must have been like in the dying days of the Weimar Republic. You know, when it's crazy and hedonistic. And it's a great read and also disproves the adage that Germans don't have a sense of humour. So this is the lightest of the three books I recommend by Eric Kessner. The other two, a bit heavier. The next one is The Seventh Cross. And I just, obviously this is a podcast, but the girls will see it. This is my book and I have read it so much. I don't know if you can tell. It's come to pieces.
Oh, my God.
It's all sellotaped up. It's a fantastic novel. Anna Seghers was a Jewish communist who obviously had to flee the Nazis. And she tells this story about seven prisoners who escaped from a concentration camp. And the commandant puts up seven crosses and he's going to put each prisoner by one of the crosses. The six get caught quite quickly and there's one, Georg Heisler, and basically the book is tracking the story of how they're trying to track him down. It's like a cops and robbers story, but the other way around. So obviously the good guy is the convict who's escaped and then the bad guys are the police. And what's great about Anna Seghers and also the book we're reading at the moment for Book Club, which is Homegoing by Yahya Yassi, which deals with slavery. Both writers are really good at bringing out the humanity of people in situations where humanity was being destroyed, you know, and it could be a polemic, it isn't. She really understands why people collaborate with regimes like the Nazis, you know, whether it's through power or greed or fear or you just want an easy life. It's such a beautifully written novel and it's all about how great, this is something that I find fascinating, how human spirit, no matter how repressive the regime, it will always win through. It's one of the best novels I've ever read. So I totally recommend The Seventh Cross. And the last one is a book called Alone in Berlin. Now, normally when I recommend books to Jen, her eyes glaze over. But Jen actually read this book and how did you find it?
Firstly, my eyes do not glaze over, Maureen. I am a literary hound, as you well know. A literary hound? Is that even a thing? I don't know what that is. Anyway, let's move swiftly forward. Yes, I have read it on your recommendation and I really enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed the book and in some ways not very much happens in as much as it really captures the claustrophobia of the daily lives of German people during that period. And it is really the story of a man and his wife who were both resisting the Nazis in their own way. I don't know how much difference their resistance made, really. But anyway, I won't go into the actual story, but it was a small act of resistance, but it showed just how difficult it was to not collaborate, really.
Exactly. I would agree with you. It was written in 1946, so not that long after the war. He wrote it in 4 weeks. It's Hans Fallader, who was one of the few German writers, along with Erich Kästner, who wrote Fabian, who stayed in Germany during the Nazi period. And it gives you a chilling insight into life under the Nazi regime. But again, it provides a testament to the endurance of the human spirit, you know, that despite everything, these guys do resist. And it's actually based on a true life story of a couple called the Hampels. But, you know, Fallader says, despite the nature of the book, because you do understand why people did collaborate, because everyone was spying on you, your family, neighbours, people that you work with. He said the book is dedicated to life, unconquerable life, always triumphing again and again over ignominy and tears, over misery and death. And I think it's a fitting testimony to all those who did resist. So those are three books. I mean, it does sound quite a daunting subject, but they're all incredibly well written, and I'd recommend all three of them heartily.
Yes, and I know that you obviously read them in German, and I think perhaps a little bit gets lost in translation, but overall I think those books are all fantastic, and I would definitely recommend you read the book over watching the film.
Oh, the film is dreadful.
It's got a great cast, but...
The cast is brilliant, but they've missed one of the major points. They changed it and it was ludicrous. And it is a really bad film, despite the great cast.
But the book is available. So do, in fact, read all of them, particularly the second book. Was it The Seventh Cross?
Seventh Cross.
That sounds great. I would love to read that. Thank you so much, Maureen, for that great bit of cultural cornerisms. I really need to work on these bits, these little segues, don't I? I really feel I'm letting the whole podcast down. Right, now it's time.
Yeah.
What time is it, Alison?
After all of that culturalness that I feel now, I just like to get angry about some stuff. So, Jen, what I would like to know, what the hell is getting your goat? I want to know if I'm on board. Jen, what's getting your goat?
Lots of things have gotten my goat. I broke my glasses.
That's annoying.
But I fixed it with this special, it's almost like plasticine, but it goes hard. Anyway, I mean, let's try and make this a bit more interesting. My glasses are, to all intents and purposes, fixed, but that really got my goat, because the only person that I had to blame was me, because it was me that left them on the sofa and then it was me that sat on them. But I did really try quite hard to blame other people. I was like, wow, if people weren't distracting me and making me leave things, then, So let's think about that. But anyway, it didn't work. The other thing that's gotten my goat, and this is the main thing, my eczema has arrived once again, and I have had it for quite a long time. I get eczema in a fantastic place. You can barely see it. It's on my eyes. So there we are. I get it on my eyes. And what it means is that, obviously, I'm a woman in my mid-40s, and of course there are wrinkles, let's not deny those. But what it does is, because it gets really dry, it kind of creates these sort of bags under my eyes that look even more wrinkly. And then my eyes get smaller and smaller until they're just two little sort of piggy eyes. And I had my photos taken. This was during lockdown, but I'm officially allowed to do it because it's work. So I went into London to get my photos taken, my headshots. And this photographer, he's very good. And he said, but I like to use natural light. I don't like to use light. So we're going to use natural light. I thought, well, that sounds amazing. I'm all about looking natural, as you well know. So I turn up. There's no makeup artist. I think, who cares? I can do my own makeup. Bish, bash, bosh. Put a bit of makeup on. We take the photos. I have received those said photos. And I look 112 in every single one of them. I look old. You know that there are filters that age you. You know those filters on Instagram that go, imagine what you look like when you're 72. Well, I don't need to, because I have 16 photographs in my hard drive that will tell me exactly what I look like when I'm 72. Turns out I don't work well with natural light. I need a lot of soft light. I need a lot of makeup. I need a lot of help if I'm going to make myself. I showed them to Chloe. She went, well, these are great if you want to be cast from like 50 plus. I was like, oh.
Even your loving partner was like, no.
I said, Claude, do I look this old? She went, yeah, you've got eczema. I was like, ah.
Can't he touch them up?
There's no touching up. I don't know where you'd start touching and what you'd touch up, but you'd have to... There's too much up of touching to do. You couldn't do it. There's the, I mean, you'd have to... Basically, what you'd have to do is get at someone else's head. I don't know if Spotlight will accept that. Sorry, I was really unhappy about my headshots, but I have chosen this beautiful one of Helena Christensen when she was... when she was at her height. I don't know if I can use that one instead.
We look very similar.
We're so similar. With her natural Scandinavian looks and my natural Scandinavian looks. So, yeah, that's got my goat. And Chloe was like, well, you know, you can always get pictures taken again, but they will inevitably be me with tiny little eyes again and lots of wrinkles. And also this sort of weird jowly thing, which is now starting to happen. You know when the bits around your jaw just go, well, we're tired, and they just start to hang a bit lower. You're like, well, could you just perk up a bit, mate, just for a couple of extra years? So, do you know what? At this point, I'm like, I totally get women that have a little lift now, because sometimes I hold my face up and go, oh yeah, look, I'm holding my face up now. What do you think?
Yeah.
Better?
Not yet. I'm doing it to mine and I'm like, oh yeah. I do it all the time. I look in the mirror and go, that's what I was like at like 19. Yeah. Like it was just
oh my God.
A little bit.
Oh my God, look how much better I look. No, you don't look better
when you do it that much.
What I want to look like is a shaved, drowned cat. You know, I want to have that sort of look like, you know, when you look at Nicole Kidman now and you think, I don't know, what's happened to your face? I don't know. I don't understand your face. Yeah. I'm going to go for that.
I play the game with her face because I've been watching The Undoing, and I play the game, where's the Botox, where's the filler? It's a fun game.
She's a beautiful woman. She doesn't need it all. But the pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to Hollywood. And if you want to have a career, you better look 20 or 30 years younger than you really are, which is why I appreciate that I had headshots that make me look 20 years older. I take care.
By the way, we were supposed to mention this week, one of the charities that we support, Birmingham Solihull Women's Aid, they've got a new campaign where you can do a series of 16 challenges from writing to your MP or watching a documentary or having a conversation with a loved one. That's happening this week. So if you want to visit the Birmingham Solihull Women's Aid website, which is bswaid.org, and you can find out. And I think a lot of the women's organisations are doing that to help to promote their work, helping victims of domestic violence. So that's happening this week. So if you want to check it out, please do.
Maureen, that's fantastic. Can we ask that you put that link up perhaps on your website? Would that be possible?
Yes, I'll do that.
Yes, so Maureen will put that up on her website. Please do go out and find out more about that. We do, of course, support all refugees in this country. So if you work for one, or if you do volunteer, or if you know of a refugee that needs a little bit of help financially, then we're happy to give you a shout out and talk about the work that you're doing. Thank you, Maureen Younger, is basically what I'm trying to say. This is the end of the podcast. We've had the time of our lives. This is the point where at the end, Dirty Dancing, that's playing. Can you hear it? Just underneath, there we go. Obviously, for reasons of PRS.
We will not be able to play that music.
We won't be playing that. Just hear it. Alive, and I never felt. It's over now. We're finished. It's way before, I swear.
I'm literally singing in my head.
It's the truth. I'll hold on to you. Women Talking Bollocks.
If you enjoyed today's episode,
then why not subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, like us, leave a wonderful message saying how much you enjoy our dulcet tones, particularly mine.
And you can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. It's WTB_podcast. Leave a nice comment. If you didn't really enjoy the show, then don't leave a comment. Just tell somebody you don't like very much to listen to the next one. And then we all win.
Will that do?
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.